Information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now, back to Mike Adams.
All right, in response to U.S. duties on imports of steel and aluminum, Mexico has put a 10% duty on all chilled and frozen pork cuts imported from the U.S., as well as a 15% duty on sausages, a 20% duty on some prepared hams. Let's talk about that situation with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure, Mike. Good morning.
All right, so some pretty significant retaliation here from Mexico. How much is this going to impact our pork sales into Mexico?
Well, I think a little background is probably needed. You know, Mexico is our largest volume trading partner on pork. The U.S. accounts for about 40% of the Mexico pork consumption, and that's really significant when you consider over the last several years, especially the rising demand, per capita consumption is increasing dramatically in Mexico. We've seen it grow to nearly by a third over the last 10 years, so we're up to almost 40 pounds per person in Mexico. So this is a significant destination for our products, and any duty, let alone a 10% duty, is of great concern.
Because we face competition in that country, are we at risk of losing our foothold there?
Well, I think there's risk on several levels. Most definitely, we have a 10% duty currently, and the schedule that the Mexico government has put out is that will increase to 20% on July 5th. So, yeah, the overriding risk here, we have a share between 80 and 90% of the imported pork into Mexico. We've had that level of share, so the majority share, for years and years. A lot of that has to do, of course, with NAFTA as well as our physical location and the ease of the trade between the two countries. But if this persists long term, we'd run the risk of losing share. We're already starting to lose a little bit of share to Canada, our neighbor to the north, but we also run the risk of losing share to places like the European Union, and that's a little harder. You know, the logistics, the fact that it's frozen and not fresh, is a bit of a barrier for Mexico, but honestly, if Mexico's given no other choice, they will adjust, and they will increase from the EU as well. So this is a definite risk going forward.
I was just talking about this in the last segment, saying that if you push a customer into somebody else's arms, basically, you may get that back, but you may not get all that back. I mean, that's the risk we run, right?
Exactly right. And, you know, I've been around the international trade for a long time. It's always harder. It's more expensive to get a customer back once you've lost them than to originally get a customer. So, you know, we're a very reliable trading partner with Mexico and Canada, for that matter. And these outside influences, like these tariffs, are unfortunate because it really does force really good customers to consider at least looking elsewhere for part of their supply.
And I often mention this, once you start down this road of tariffs and then retaliation and back and forth, it tends to escalate. It's hard sometimes to slow that down. And in light of what we heard over the weekend at the G7 summit, I don't know, NAFTA doesn't sound like to be, at least publicly, doesn't sound to be in the best of shape. So I would say this has to be a concern on top of what's happening with China and the challenges there of moving U.S. pork into China.
Yes, you know, I think everyone in our industry is concerned, definitely on the pork and the beef side, without a doubt. But that being said, I think, too, that we have to remember that these relationships between countries and customer to supplier have been developed over years and years of work. So, you know, we are a low-cost supplier of high-quality products. We do have very, very good relationships, Canada and Mexico, a lot of countries, Japan, Korea. And I think the overall supply and demand dynamics are still very much in our favor to continue those relationships. The key is to work through some of the rhetoric and some of these outside influences. I think in the case of NAFTA, for example, most everybody would agree that agriculture, for the most part, works. It's other influences, automobiles, et cetera, that seem to be at least one of the primary driving factors on renegotiating something like NAFTA. So I think the ag industry in general, is really pushing hard to maintain what we have, and actually it has the potential to even flourish more than it has as it relates to ag. We just have to work through some of these other stumbling blocks.
Talking with Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. So, Dan, if we get a NAFTA deal finally done and it's a good deal, I mean, does a country like Mexico forgive and forget, we go back, or have we, put some doubt in their minds that that would cause maybe some problems down the road, or does a new deal kind of take care of that?
Well, I think this is all speculation. It's hard to tell what happens in the future, but I do know this. I think using Mexico as an example, we the industry, the pork and beef industries in the U.S. have very, very good relationships with the key players down in Mexico and in Canada for that matter as well. And, I think that, I don't know if forgive and forget is the right terminology, but I think they value the relationship with the U.S., and I do think that we can maintain and grow the business long term. But that being said, we're making life a little bit difficult on them at the moment, and, on a lot of fronts, on several fronts. But like I said earlier, I think ag is not one of those that is having these issues. So hopefully we can work through it and get back to some sort of normalized trading pattern.
Even with these tariffs, we're still moving pork into Mexico, aren't we?
We are. But that being said, the tariffs, the uncertainty, this is causing, as any good business would do, is causing a lot of customers to look at additional sources of supply beyond what they may have today. And, as I mentioned earlier, Canada, the EU, they're even looking at places like Brazil. Brazil does not have a veterinarian agreement with the U.S. at this point due to foot and mouth disease and concerns like that. But I know that Brazil is pushing hard. So there's even competitors that aren't identified yet that could come on the horizon if we're not careful. So, yeah, I think the threat's out there, but in the end, from a trading standpoint, the Mexico industry and the Canadian industry are very used to our products. They're very comfortable with the quality and the safety of our products. So from just a trading supply and demand standpoint, we still are the best positioned to grow the business.
Now, what about with China? What's the situation there?
Well, China's always the elephant in the room. There's so many variables there, so many different things going on. It's really hard to say what's causing what there. I can tell you this, that part of the issue in China, aside from the duties, is that on a supply basis, they have their largest pork supply currently, the way their hog cycle's going, their largest supply of pork since 2010. So prices are relatively low for that reason. And, it ebbs and flows in China. A year from now, it could be a much lower supply with higher prices. So it's really a volatile market just by its very nature. And, this is compounding the problem with the 25% duty that you alluded to earlier. So, it's hard to say. Hopefully we can get to some sort of agreement where we can get back to normalized trade without a duty as we were before. And I know that the industry is pushing in that direction.
Dan, last time we talked, we were in Dallas at the World Meat Congress, and the news of the tariffs by the administration on steel and aluminum from Canada, Mexico, and the EU, that kind of, we can say hijacked, but it really kind of took over the conversation at World Meat Congress. That aside, how did you feel about the event and the relationship building that took place at the meeting?
Well, I thought the meeting was a huge success. We had very nearly 750 attendees from a huge amount. I think it was 40-plus countries around the world, and it really was the opportunity to get ag on the international stage. And you're right. I don't know if hijacked was the right word, but definitely we had some real-life scenarios of trade issues that happened during the meeting, so that was quite interesting. But, you know, it's the world we live in, and I thought it was great having the entire all the global players there at the meeting. So you know, these sorts of events don't happen very often, and in that regard, I thought it was a huge success.
Yeah, very good meeting indeed. Dan, good to talk with you again, and thanks for the update and perspective on these trade issues. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Mike. Thank you.
Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.